The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, we're continuing here Jesus' instruction on prayer to his disciples. Yeah, so they've just asked him, you know, teach us to pray. And he's given them, you know, in Luke's gospel, the Lucan form of the Our Father. And then he gives them this instruction that follows immediately on from that. And the challenge for us really is to hold it all together, to hold all those, you know, these are not, say, disparate teachings. These are teachings that are all of a piece. And so we have to hold them together as well. What I'd offer is, you know, we will only, how do I say, we'll see the effectiveness of Jesus' instruction in what follows the Our Father if we're kind of hooked into the Our Father, right? So if we take them, say, one by one and abstract them from their context, what we will do is give them a context that is not properly theirs. We will use our own lives and perhaps our own lives of prayer as context to interpret what would then be disparate teachings of Jesus on prayer. I think we'll go astray that way. And let me give just one kind of signpost to the fact that we'll probably go astray if that's how we take it. Yeah, if you look at what becomes, say, the second of the two big blocks of teaching in this passage in Luke 11, he says, "I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." And I think, you know, I could really use a nice car, you know? I have a nice car, actually, you know, but I could really use a nice, I have nice everything. I don't know. I want more stuff, you know, I don't really want more stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, if that's the way that I'm going to pull it out of, I'm going to take that, kind of remove it from its context, and do like the my context thing. I just start thinking about, okay, well, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Yeah, and we're trained, okay, culturally, we're trained to do that. So that's the context, and that's how we try to make sense of the passage. Ask and you will receive. Great. Seek and you will find. What, I mean, anyway, okay, I won't get into the lottery again. Okay, this is, you know, knock and the door will be open to you. You know, how amazing this is. But then where he concludes the passage, it's kind of like, oh, that was a bit of a curveball. It was only a bit of a curveball if we didn't hold everything together. The curveball is this. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's Holy Spirit, not a Lamborghini. You know, it's like these are distinct items, you know, the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? It means that what Jesus anticipates there is that in our prayer, all along, we will have been asking for the Holy Spirit. So then are we? You know, so then push that back into the passage. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. This is in relation, say, primarily, I get it. Yeah, God wants to also give us things. He wants to give us good things, especially as they relate to, say, the stewardship that he's entrusting to us. we recognize that we don't have what it takes to do what he's asking us to do. We have to keep asking him for what we need in order to do what we need to do. But of primary importance in the thing is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I mean, without that, what are we doing anyway? Yeah, without our, say, participation in the Trinitarian exchange, right? Without our growing into God's own life of love, right? So receiving from him an outpouring of his love and then embodying that love for everyone we encounter, right? Without that exchange, the heaven and earth exchange, what exactly are we doing anyway? Yeah, so we can push that all the way back into the Lord's Prayer and say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? I mean, these are petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But how are our hearts renewed? Will we allow our hearts to be renewed to give ourselves to God for the building up of his kingdom? And for the doing of his will rather than simply mine or the building up of other kingdoms, a kingdom to ourselves, really monuments and statues to ourselves. And they're like, will we give ourselves whole and entire to God? Will we live totally for him and his purposes? And if we commit ourselves to that, then of course he's giving us every good gift that we need in order to be able to do that. Yeah, so this is the kind of contextualized version of the thing. In that space, still, my friends, right, Jesus is asking us to be persistent in prayer. It's such a great little image of God. It's such a weird little way to go about describing, you know, what our relationship to God is. Like, God is a sleepy friend, you know, like God is a friend asleep in his house. You know, I'm going to go. Now, the challenge, of course, the context for this part of the passage, right, the sleeping friend and the other friend that arrives, it really leans heavily on the laws of hospitality of that particular place. So you had to, right? There's no question about it. You had to offer hospitality for the person who shows up at your door at midnight. You have to do that. Yeah. And then the other, right, the sleepy friend knows how serious that demand is, and he will meet you in that demand. He will give you what it is you need in order to meet that demand, and that is God, in some way, right? What Jesus is asking us there for, though, is persistence, right? Even if he doesn't do it because of the friendship, he'll do it because of the persistence. God is asking us to nag him, right? I mean, It's a significant thing. Think about the petitions of the Our Father, and then think about the fact that God is asking you to do that, right? He's asking you to pray that way, right? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He's telling us to ask him for our daily bread. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to give it to you. That's why he wants you. That's why he's commanding us to do that, because he wants to give you your daily bread. But he knows that you have to be prepared, right? You have to be hungry for it. If you're not hungry enough to ask God for your daily bread, you're not going to get it. Because you think you're being fed some other way, or you just think I can do without it. Well, then we're too full of ourselves. We need space there, right, to be filled with the things of God. So say, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. You ever think about that? He's telling us, ask for forgiveness. Why? Because God wants to give it. He's not withholding it. Do you know? He's desperate to give it. So desperate that, in fact, he's telling us to ask for it. So this is the relationship that we have with God, coming out, emerging from the Lord's Prayer, right? This life of real, real dedicated discipleship. Yeah, the sense of, yeah, okay, by virtue of my praying that prayer, that most dangerous prayer, because it is a dangerous prayer because it has the capacity to turn the world upside down. and inside out. It has the capacity to turn me upside down and inside out. It has the capacity to take me from, okay, I'm really simply concerned about my own interests, God, that's why I'm appearing before you, to say, I'm actually giving myself whole and entire to you. Like in response to the gift that you were giving me, I'm giving myself whole and entire to you. And then these are the contours of that relationship that I have with God. And this is the shape and character of the mission of my life, because I've been brought into relationship with Jesus. And he's leading the way. He's pouring his own life out for me, right? He's breathing his spirit into me so that I can be conformed to him, so that I can live a Christ-centered life, and so be renewed myself and bring the renewal that God wants to bring to the world. I can be part of God's plan to bring renewal to the entire world. And here it is, right? Radical dependence on God, persistence in prayer. It's not as though we are shouting out into the void. You know, sometimes you have that, and that's in our imagination for prayer. We're shouting out into the darkness. Yeah, if you're out there, you know, this is not Christian prayer. Christian prayer is that God himself has established a connection. And then we're just grabbing onto it. We're cooperating. We're saying yes to his advances. Yeah, and this is again what it looks like to be in that exchange. We need to be reminded that it's an exchange of love. And it's an exchange of persons. And that's the matter of primary significance. This is why why the pinnacle of the thing is to say, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Right? He's prioritizing us. We're prioritizing him. And then our lives are taking form, right? Because of our prioritization of God and his purposes, our lives then look like Jesus's. They look like, you know, lives of thankful praise to God and pouring ourselves out in his service. Right? This is what we're made for. This is the full flourishing that we're made for. And this is the work that Jesus accomplishes then in us and through us as we pray with real persistence and perseverance.